Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Luke tells us that Jesus was passing through the city of Jericho, and in that city lived a man named Zacchaeus. And yes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Well, Zacchaeus was a man short in stature, but a man who had great depth of pocket. Zacchaeus was rich, wealthy, and Luke also tells us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Well, in our day, the IRS tends to be a rather unpopular agency, one that we would all rather have minimum interaction with. But in Jesus's day, tax collectors were not only unpopular, they were also hated, despised, detested. And here's why. If you were a tax collector in Israel in Jesus's day, that meant you worked for the Roman Empire. Now, at that time, Rome, the Roman Empire, it was the greatest nation in the world. It was the greatest power in the world. And at that time, Rome was an occupying power. Rome occupied the land of Israel. Rome had military control. Rome had political control over the land of Israel. And Rome taxed the people of Israel. And it was bad enough that Rome had marched in and took over the land that God had given them. And then, as a reward for being taken over, they were taxed. They were forced to pay money to their occupiers. And as you can imagine, no one was pleased. For many Jews, this tax was a symbol of political subjection. It was a symbol of political oppression. It was a symbol that they were not free. And the Romans collected taxes like this. It was actually an ingenious system. Rather than collect it themselves, the Romans hired it out to local labor. The Romans sent in local private contractors. And these contractors covered a certain geographic area and collected a predetermined set of taxes based on population. As long as the empire got what it was due when it was due, Roman authorities did not care how or how much more the tax collectors took in. So typically, these tax collectors acquired more money than what Rome demanded. And typically, they kept the more for themselves. Now, everyone knew this was the practice. And so everyone despised tax collectors. Tax collectors represented Rome. Tax collectors took money that represented political oppression. Tax collectors were thieves. They took what didn't belong to them or Caesar. And they would often use force or coercion or fear. And they were despised all the more when they were fellow Jews. So Zacchaeus was a Jew working for Rome. He was a Jew taking money from his own people. He was a Jew stealing money from his own people. And Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. This meant that he oversaw tax collectors. He was management. He was part of the bureaucracy, which means he got a cut from several tax collectors, which is probably why he was rich, how he got rich. So Zacchaeus was a thief. Zacchaeus was a robber. Zacchaeus was a lawbreaker. Zacchaeus broke the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal," time and time and time again. He took that which belonged to someone else, namely their money, unjustly. simply for his own personal gain. Therefore, Zacchaeus attacked God's providence. He unjustly took from others what God had provided them, and he made it his own. Not only was Zacchaeus a lawbreaker, not only was Zacchaeus a thief, but his actions pointed to his heart. His actions pointed to a sickness of the heart. His actions pointed to an idolatry of the heart. Zacchaeus was a lover of money, a lover of possessions. It was the center of his life. It determined how he ordered his life, how he lived his life, so much so that even being shunned and hated by his fellow Jews didn't matter a bit. Breaking God's law didn't matter a bit. He was a slave to it. Now, this is what happens. This is what happens. Our idols, the things that we place first in our lives, first in our hearts, other than God, the things we center our lives around when it should be God, these things will control us. We end up serving them, becoming their slaves. Well, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was rich. He was a chief tax collector. He was despised. He was a thief. He was a sinner. He was a slave. But verse 3 says this: he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus was curious about Jesus. Perhaps he'd heard stories about Jesus, stories of his miracles, how he had healed the lame and the blind, how he had cast out demons, how he had raised the dead. Perhaps Zacchaeus had heard stories of Jesus' teaching that Jesus taught as one with authority. Well, something deep within Zacchaeus stirred. He was drawn to Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to learn more about Jesus. Now, there may be others in your life, people you know, people you work with, you go to school with, that you have to interact with, whom you would never expect to be interested in Jesus, but really are. Find out. Ask them. Invite them to church. You may be surprised. Like Zacchaeus, they may be seeking to see who Jesus is. Well, listen to verse 3 again. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. He couldn't see over the crowd. He was too short to see over the crowd. And nobody there was going to move for this chief tax collector. Nobody. But that did not stop Zacchaeus. He was going to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus does two socially unacceptable acts. First of all, he runs. Zacchaeus runs ahead. He runs ahead of the crowd. And two, he climbs a tree. Now, in Jesus' day in Israel, grown men did not run. Grown men did not climb trees. Tax collectors did not run. Tax collectors did not climb trees. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Now, today, if you want to get a better view of Jesus, if you want to see Jesus, you don't have to be like Zacchaeus. You don't have to run. You don't have to climb a tree. All you have to do is read. If you want to get a better view of Jesus, if you want to see Jesus, read the Bible. Read God's word. Start with the gospel. Start with the gospel of John. Well, Zacchaeus ran and climbed a sycamore tree right next to the road, right next to where Jesus would pass by. And when Jesus came, he looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree, and he speaks this in verse 5. Zacchaeus, Jesus calls him by name. Don't overlook this detail. Jesus calls him by name. because he knows him. Jesus knows Zacchaeus. Jesus knows who Zacchaeus is. He knows what Zacchaeus does. He knows his occupation. He knows he's a thief. He knows he's despised. He knows his heart. He knows he is a slave. Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. But it turns out that Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus. Jesus called him down from that tree, and he invited himself to his home, into his life, into his heart. And Zacchaeus just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus, a glimpse of him as he passed by, but Jesus was ready to enter his home. This is how Jesus saves. The Son of God seeks you out, walks into your life, stops for you, calls you by name, tells you he is coming to your house. And what is Zacchaeus' response? What is this thief's response to the Son of God? Well, listen to verse 6 again. So he hurried and he came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus scurried down that sycamore tree and he received Jesus with joy. Faith and joy. Faith with joy. Zacchaeus received Jesus by faith. Zacchaeus received Jesus with joy. Joy at God's love poured into his life in Jesus. Joy in forgiveness. Joy in life with Jesus. And the crowd grumbled. Now, those whom Zacchaeus could not see over, those who also came out to see Jesus, they saw what happened. They heard Jesus' words. And they did not like it. They grumbled. Can you believe it? Jesus is going to his house? He's going to a tax collector's house? He's going to the home of that traitor, that thief? But they did not understand that this is exactly why Jesus came. In his words, to seek and save the lost. To seek and save lost tax collectors, to seek and save lost thieves, to seek and save lost sinners. Those wandering through life without God, those wandering through life without hope. Jesus invaded Zacchaeus's life. God's love invaded Zacchaeus's life and forever changed him. And as a proof of this change, as a proof of this conversion, listen to verse 8 again from our passage. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Jesus had freed him from his idolatry. Money and possessions no longer ruled Zacchaeus' life. Jesus did. Jesus had healed his heart. And Zacchaeus was able to give away half of what he had. Just gave it away. Instead of a thief, he was now a steward. Instead of attacking God's providence, he became generous. He became an instrument of God's providence in the lives of others. Now, what is more, we see a confession. We see a statement of repentance in Zacchaeus' words as well. He says, "If I have defrauded anyone of anything." He was a tax collector. He certainly had defrauded plenty of people. He'd certainly stolen from plenty of people. And here he promises restitution. He promises to pay back what he had stolen. He promises to pay back what he had robbed. He promises to pay back what he had defrauded. And not just the amount, but four times as much. In other words, this rich tax collector who loved his money, loved his possessions, was changed so much by his encounter with Jesus that he promised restitution with interest. Jesus transformed him. Jesus healed his heart. Jesus set him free. He was a changed man. He was a forgiven man. He was a redeemed man. He was a saved man. Salvation had come to his house. Jesus had come to his house. The Son of Man who came to seek and save the lost had come to his house. Zacchaeus was lost, but Jesus sought him. Zacchaeus was lost, but Jesus found him and saved him and forever changed him. And Jesus continues to seek the lost. He continues to invade the lives of sinners, thieves, and otherwise. Have you, like Zacchaeus, been seeking to see Jesus? Are you up in the tree waiting? Are you up in the tree looking? Have you been up in that tree for some time, waiting and looking? Well, you'll find he is seeking you. He sought you. You'll find that he knows you. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows all about you. He knows you're a thief. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you're a slave. He knows you're lost. And he comes to you. He comes to you with God's love. He comes to you with God's love and infinite, overflowing love that would die for you on a cross. The death of a criminal, the death of a thief. He comes to you with God's love, a love that has conquered death, a love that has overcome death, for Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. Death is undone. Through Jesus, you're no longer lost. You're found. Through Jesus, you are freed. A child of God. Like Zacchaeus, have you received him? Have you received him with joy? Have you embraced him in faith? Have you embraced him with joy? Don't wait. Don't wait. There's a time to be in a tree, seeking, watching, waiting. And there's a time to get down. There's a time to hurry down. Jesus calls you. He invites himself into your house. He invites himself into your life. Receive him with faith, with joy. And if you already have received him with joy, if you have already climbed down from the tree and received him, are you showing the difference that he's made in your life? Are you showing the difference that he's made in your heart? Are you trusting in his providence that he will care for you, that he will provide for you? Are you living generously? Are you living in repentance? Confessing your sin, confessing when you break God's law. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Lost thieves. Lost tax collectors like Zacchaeus, lost sinners like you and me, filling our homes and filling our hearts with divine love.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.